the journey, my journey with my addiction, or however, you know, whatever name I give it at some point, it's been painful. Like, it's been like the most heartbreaking, one of the most heartbreaking experiences I've ever had in my life. Because 7 out of 10 people that I met throughout my recovery are dead.
Welcome to Second Act Stories, a podcast that looks at people who've made major career changes and are pursuing more rewarding lives in a second act. The stories are in their own words and the words of friends and family that have helped them find a new path. I'm your host, Andy Levine. Every 2 weeks, we bring you a new second act story. So this episode today is different. It focuses less on career change and more on life change. Today, we bring you the story of Jorge Alvarez. He came to the U.S. from Honduras at the age of 7, and he grew up with his mother and his sister in tough circumstances in the Bronx. His story is about overcoming an addiction to alcohol and to drugs, and a second act that finds him clean and sober and living a productive life. I first met Jorge at a volunteer training session for a group called Back on My Feet. You'll hear more about them later in the podcast, but Back on My Feet is a big part of Jorge's success. We're going to start Jorge's story at Theodore Roosevelt High School in the Bronx.
Life in the Bronx was pretty tough, but at the time I had no idea how tough, you know, what tough was. You know, I did see a lot of negative activity. I saw drug dealing, I saw gang activity, but not knowing anything else, I didn't think that there was anything bad about it.
Talk about your education.
When I came to school here, I was pretty much bored. I was pretty much the class clown until one of my teachers, her name is Miss Capen, she said, "Mr. Alvarez, instead of being class clown, what do you consider a career in acting?" I was like, "No, that's whack. You know, I don't want to be an actor." And I was like, they don't make a lot of money. And then she was like, "What do you think? Denzel Washington does it for free."
So did you explore the acting field in high school and as a career?
The funny thing is that a year later, my sophomore year, Carmen Rivera, she wrote a play called La Gringa. And so she came to my school and she did this workshop where she brought the class to a play. And it blew my mind away. Like, seeing the play La Gringa was the most, amazing thing that had happened to me, to my life up to that point. Because I saw someone from two different worlds trying to make it in America.
So at the end of class, Carmen Rivera asked if anyone was interested in acting. And she referred Jorge to the Henry Street Settlement, a nonprofit social service agency on New York's Lower East Side. From there, he got involved in an acting group called the Urban Youth Theater, or YUT for short.
I started doing plays. I start taking acting classes every Saturday. I would take the train at that age. I would take the D train all the way to Broadway and Lafayette, then transfer to the F train to Delancey and Essex and walk to Henry Street Settlement. Every day. That was my life till I got to college.
Okay.
Pretty much. From my sophomore year all the way to my freshman year of college, that's all I did.
Jorge went to Lehman College to pursue a drama degree. And at the same time, he was producing and acting in his own plays. But after college, he started to get more deeply involved in partying and in drugs.
I was just fed up with everything I did not learn in college about the entertainment industry. So I wanted to just focus on finding myself. And finding myself included partying every day. Like, I would go to bars. I was at every networking event that I could possibly find that had to do with acting. And I was just getting wasted with my friends, wasted with family members, like every day, like 7 days a week I was drinking.
Okay.
And wasted and smoking every day.
Okay.
Yeah. And I moved in with my sister, and so I was living with my sister at the time, and her situation was just horrible. And so I moved in with her thinking that, okay, I'm going to figure out a way to find myself. I'm going to reconnect with my sister. No, it was complete hell.
Jorge's sister was a young mother, but she was also a drug dealer. Jorge lived with her for 2 years, and his stories of those 2 years involved drugs, guns, the police, and even murder. After he moved out of his sister's apartment, a close friend finally confronted him about his own drug problems.
I met up with another friend who was a filmmaker, and we had a heart-to-heart. And she said, you know what your problem is? You're an addict. And I was like, what? I'm like, I'm not an addict. And I was just like completely blown away by someone saying that I'm an addict. Like, yeah, you drink, you're always smoking, you're always high. And this was a friend who had fired me from a film because I couldn't memorize my lines. I was too high.
So Jorge went to his first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
We have another mutual friend. His name is Yao. And Yao takes me to an AA meeting. And so I end up at this beginner's meeting, and it was kind of like UYT again, you know, my first theater group, where I'm in a diverse group of people, and we all have one thing in common. That blew my mind. Hearing someone who was 30 years older than me, someone from India, someone from a completely different part of the world, talk about their addiction, and I can relate to everything. The truth scared me that day. And so I didn't come back for another 2 weeks. And so my friend Yao had found Phoenix House. And he was like, listen, you need to be in a place where someone's going to support you if your goal is to be clean.
Phoenix House is a drug and alcohol rehabilitation organization. Jorge was there for 15 months.
Phoenix House was a fucking mess. Okay. I was in intense treatment. So in intense treatment, you know, there's a loophole where folks who want to avoid prison sentences go to drug programs. It was rough. And I was trying to get away from environments like that, where, like, you know, soft-spoken, if you have manners, you're not going to make it far in jail. So in this program, it was kind of similar, where, like, I got into a lot of altercations, but it never went anywhere far. But there was drug dealing within the program. There were fights. There was a lot of crazy shit going on. I had no idea how valuable a pack of cigarettes is.
It's here that our story starts to improve. After a first round of treatment, Jorge moved to a less intensive Phoenix House facility. And here, he first became involved with a group called Back on My Feet.
Back on My Feet is a peer running group that meets 3 times a week to run at 5:30 a.m. We share the Serenity Prayer. We talk to each other. We grow. We hug each other. And, some of the best hugs I've ever gotten in my life.
On a personal note, I run with Back on My Feet every Wednesday morning in New York City, and it's an amazing experience. Every run starts with the circle. Residents like Jorge gather with volunteers who stand shoulder to shoulder with their arms around each other, and they say the Serenity Prayer together.
Who woke us up this morning?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God's will, not ours, be done.
Residents need to commit to running with the group 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, from 5:30 to 6:30 a.m. Yes, that's 5:30 a.m. we start. If they can stick to this for a month, Back on My Feet starts to provide customized services to them like job training, employment coaching, and housing assistance. But it all starts with waking up at 5:30 a.m. and running with a group.
Yeah, it was extremely tough because, like, even though your mind might be sober, your body might not be used to running. When I would come back, I would stay in bed for about an hour. Yeah, I was in bed for about an hour. I would put ice on my knees. I would hydrate. I eat bananas, you know, to stop myself from cramping up. It was tough. It was really tough.
Muriel Feigen, member services manager at Back on My Feet, worked closely with Jorge to help get him back into the workforce.
He was already at, like, the employment seeking part of his journey when I met him. You know, he was sober. He had the education and trainings that he wanted. He was ready to go back out into the workforce. But his background and his passion had been acting, drama, things like that. And what's unique about Back on My Feet is that we're very flexible in how we work with members, and we're never trying to force someone into a job that they don't necessarily want. We talk a lot about long-term planning, and if you're going to be successful in a job, you have to like it long-term. So it was easy to work with him and start planning, okay, well, if you're not going to get some job right now to make money, like, what kind of job are you interested in? Can acting and drama and that side of your life still be your passion, but maybe not be the primary way that you're making a living?
Back on My Feet helped connect Jorge with potential employers and coached him through the interview process.
I was learning how to rehearse for interviews. I would do mock interviews. My resume, Mariel reviewed my resume. They sat down with me to go over what my goals were. Went to different workshops at Deloitte, bank accounts, savings accounts. We went through everything we needed to get ourselves back on my feet.
Yeah. His first job was a seasonal position at a Brooklyn-based online retail company called Uncommon Goods.
So at Uncommon Goods, I was doing customer service. I would take orders over the phone. I would handle deliveries, fix any issues that a customer may have as far as, you know, what they purchased, their item. I would do returns.
They loved him so much. They, like, kept him on for as long as they could, and he was enjoying it, so he stayed on for all the extra hours. He would pick up extra shifts. It was a very, very successful relationship for both of them.
And that was Jorge's start. Today, he works for a sustainable recycling company. He manages a team of 10 people that are in the field working with their clients to recycle glass and aluminum, and he's happy.
I love my job. I love working with my boss, who is a bit of a nut, but, you know, he has a lot on his shoulders, and he really cares. You know, I love working with people who genuinely care about others. You know, that's hard to find in New York City.
I asked him about the challenge of staying clean and sober.
The struggle is hard. Like, the journey, my journey with my addiction, or however, you know, whatever name I give it at some point, it's been painful.
How do you stay straight? How do you keep on a path?
Oh, I talk to people. Yeah, I go to weekly meetings where I'm talking to someone, and I cry. I cry a lot. I think that before treatment, I thought I was a punk for crying. Now I cry all the time. I make sure I get at least one or two good cries a week.
This podcast is about second acts. So if you were counseling someone and you were giving them advice, someone who was in your situation and was an addict, or is an addict, what advice would you give them about starting over, or about going through what you went through?
Find allies. Find allies that you can cry with. Pray. Believe in yourself. There is hope out there. There are people who care. You have Back on My Feet. You have Phoenix House. There are so many programs out there, you know. So look for allies. Someone who cares about you and loves you is going to point you in the right direction.
Final question. for people who are not addicts, what would you want them to know about addiction? What would you want them to understand about addiction?
When you see an addict or someone struggling, they just need love. Yeah. It sounds cliche and bullshit and pretentious, but yeah, like folks who see you out on the streets, you know, who might not smell pleasant, or if they're out there talking to themselves, that is someone who probably missed a few hugs.
For the final word, we're going to go back to Mariel Feigen, who shared with me a touching story about Jorge.
I guess my favorite success story with Jorge. So after he graduated, he moved out. He had this amazing job. As you said, I work with a lot of people, so I often, unfortunately, lose touch with the alumni who are doing well, because they might not need me to be calling them and keeping in touch with them anymore. And Jorge, out of the blue one day last year, called me and just to tell me that he had been promoted and just to say that he was interested in talking with me a little more and maybe in the future being able to offer positions, employment positions, to current Back on My Feet members, because he wanted to give back to Back on My Feet for where we had helped him get to. And it was a great conversation, and knowing that he was doing so well that he could start thinking about giving back to others what he had received.
Of course, we want to thank Jorge Alvarez for sharing his very personal second act story with us today. We also want to thank Mariel Feigen and all the volunteers at Back on My Feet. If you're interested in ever running with Back on My Feet, they have 13 chapters in 13 different cities across America. You can find out more about them at backonmyfeet.org. If you know of a second act story that we should profile, please contact me, that's Andy Levine, and my email address is secondactstories@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And if you're struggling with addiction challenges, as Jorge said, you want to find allies to help you. There are all sorts of programs out there, but a good start is Alcoholics Anonymous, or AA.org. Earlier we shared that every Back on My Feet run starts with the Serenity Prayer. The group ends the run in exactly the same way, shoulder to shoulder, arm around arm, with the same prayer. And that's how we're going to end today's podcast, with Back on My Feet's Team ABC in New York City.
Woke us up this morning.
God, grant us serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God's will, not ours, be done.
What's up,
Andy?
All right.
ABC.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
ABC. 1, 2, 3.
We hope you'll keep listening. A new second act story is just 2 weeks away.